Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tonight at 6, the speaker series at Black Hills State University Rapid City continues. Carol Salveson and Becky Flanagan will talk about the value of assistance dogs and their different roles. Carol lost a son to suicide and believed that PTSD and/or brain injury were perhaps factors, and this is why she's now a PTSD service dog trainer. Becky is a veteran herself, and she knows what a dog can do for an individual, and they are both with us today from inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's downtown Rapid City studio. Carol Salveson, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Becky Flanagan, thank you as well.
Well, thank you.
Carol, first I want to talk with you about your son, because what a terrible loss. And tell us a little bit about him as a military member, Afghanistan veteran.
So he served 10 years as a Green Beret in the Army. He had served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he had been out for 4 years. He was going to college. He was a month away from earning his college degree when he ended his life. We knew things were rough when he got out, but we thought he had recovered. There were no signs other than his dog. The day that he died, he told his girlfriend, "The dog is driving me crazy. It won't leave me alone. It just keeps looking at me." So he didn't realize why, but now we all realize why, and it just shows the power of a dog.
And you're a veteran yourself as well, yeah?
Yes, I am. I'm a retired Air Force.
So at what point do you decide, because there's so much, there's so much weight of that, and I'm so deeply sorry for your loss. You don't have to do anything after that. You could never really work with veterans again and sort of live at a safe distance. And instead you try to sort of figure out what you can do in his memory and to help others. How did you come to that decision?
Well, I'm really not sure, because he died in March of 2017. And in May of 2017, I was in school to learn how to train dogs. Mm-hmm. And in July, I was in school again to learn to train service dogs. So I have a strong faith in God, and I definitely believe it was a God thing. But since then, I read a book, Option B. You've probably heard about it. Mm-hmm. And she says three things can come out of tragedy. You can do something good with that tragedy. You can do nothing, or you can sink deeper. And I like the first choice of making a difference.
Yeah. Option B is a Sheryl Sandberg and Adam Grant book, I believe. Is that
yes.
The same?
Yeah,
right. About, yes. And she, of course, has lost her husband in a pretty, and was pretty public about her mourning and figuring out what happens next. Becky, founder and trainer for Super Dogs for Superheroes, you're a veteran yourself. Tell me about your relationship with dogs in general and how it sort of evolved into service dog training.
Well, I'm a Gulf War veteran, and I had my own PTSD coming back. And I had a dog named Molly. She was a pit bull mix, and she was the greatest dog that ever walked the face of the earth. She really made it so that I could interact with the world. And my first dog was Riker. And when I was coming back, I was having such a hard time getting a job or keeping a job. I had a hard time going grocery shopping. You would never find me in a department store in November or December or busy times, weekends. It was just too much. And so Molly was the one that really made it so that I could interact with the world.
What would happen to you physically when you're in? Because people hear that and until you've experienced it. So, you know, before having a service dog, or what did it physically feel like to be in that space in a shopping mall in December, for example?
Well, I had to watch a guy bleed to death under the cab of a vehicle because there were MLRSs on the back of his trailer. MLRSs are multi-launch rocket systems.
Right.
They'll take out a grid square, which is a kilometer squared that makes it look like carpet. There were six of them on the back that had fallen out because he jackknifed the trailer. The cab came down on his legs. One of my fellow soldiers was getting ready to hop up in his forklift and get the cab off his legs, and I said, "We can't do that." So he had to get down off the forklift. And so I had a ton of survivor guilt. And so anytime I smell diesel or blood, or exhaust, I'm going to go back to that place. I'm going to go back to watching that guy die and watch him talking about his wife who's pregnant, his unborn son, how much he loves him already. He wants him to be named Thor. That survivor guilt was so hard on me, and Molly made it more manageable. I remember when I was having so much trouble, I thought about going out in the hills and living in the tree, but dogs can't climb trees. And that was the only problem I saw with that plan. So
let's talk about the dogs now, because a dog isn't going to heal the PTSD, but it's going to help the owner sort of process it and endure or survive it. Tell me a little bit, and I'm not sure which one of you wants to start, but what does a service dog do for its owner when it senses that anxiety or anything that's PTSD related?
Well, I want to start the answer to this. I'm sure Carol wants to say something, but there's no judgment from a dog. That's first place right there. If I act like an idiot and I'm in a place and I have to leave, my dog is going to treat me the same no matter what. And even if my dog could understand that I was being an idiot, they're still going to love me. Second, for a lot of veterans, when they are contemplating suicide, they can picture their family getting through it, but they can't picture their dog getting through it lots of times. So they offer a reason to drive on, to try and get better.
Carol, would you like to add to that and specifically tie it into something you said about your son? You know, having an awareness that the dog was paying attention to him, was tending to him, but not really making the connection of what that meant.
Yes. So one of the things that is so important when you're looking for a service dog is we ask that our veterans be in therapy. Like you said, the dog doesn't cure PTSD. But what we do with the dogs is we train them to look for the signs of anxiety, such as clenching your hand or bouncing your leg. We also do nightmare interruptions. So if they're having a bad nightmare and they're screaming or they're shaking, the dog will jump on them and interrupt that. That's what a service dog does for PTSD, is it interrupts that anxiety.
And is it you who studied psychology of dogs? Tell me a little bit about what is the dog thinking, or how, what's the right way to phrase that? Sort of, how does the dog learn this? Is it natural?
Some dogs it's natural, but I don't have PTSD. So when I'm training in my home, in my training area, we're teaching them, it sounds simplified, but we're teaching them a trick. And as time goes on, hopefully they can, when they connect with their veteran, that they can start making that connection and it's natural. Becky might have something to add to that.
It really is a mechanical skill, and you really have to think about it that way, as a trick. We give off different, like Carol said, the clenched fist. What's going to happen in the dog is they're going to start smelling those hormones and start doing those alerts before the veteran hits a bad level.
And then do you train the veteran too to sort of respond to it? Like, hey, the dog just came up and, you know, nudged your hand. That means something. What does the veteran have to learn in order to respond to the dog?
That is a lot of it. It's always, the dogs pick up on stuff so quickly. It's the human that has to be trained the most anyway.
This is Carol. I try to spend 3 days with a veteran with a handover, because not only do they have to know how to handle the dog, they have to continue to train the dog. They have to take care of the dog. When that vest comes off at the end of the day, it's still a dog that needs taken care of.
Yeah. So my dog, Carol, just goes nuts if anybody makes a lot of noise in the house. So we have a very quiet house. And if we're ever laughing or joking or anybody tries to yell, the dog just starts barking. Are some dogs more inclined, you know? So we have a very calm, sort of lovely home environment that, you know, doesn't have a lot of noise. Are some dogs more inclined? Are you looking for the right personality in the dog?
Absolutely. I do an assessment. Becky and I both help veterans train their own dogs to be a service dog if needed and if that's what they want. But before we would start that, we would assess the dog to make sure it has the right temperament to go out in public. They can't bark. They have to get along with other dogs, other people. So there is definitely a certain personality. Now, there's no breed that's really exempt. I like labs a lot, but just last night I got a giant schnauzer puppy that I'll be training.
Becky, obviously the biggest question people ask is, can I pet the dog? And as more dogs come, and, you know, therapy dogs and emotional support dogs and service dogs, people always want to know that. What's your advice?
No.
Never.
It's a service dog. It's doing work. If you walk up and ask a service dog owner, can I pet your dog? You're already interfering in that dog's work.
Yeah. Carol, we got about a minute left. Tonight at 6, it's the speaker series at Black Hill State University. That's local time at the university in Rapid City. Carol, final thoughts on and what you want to leave people with about the program, maybe how veterans can connect and get a dog of their own. Who qualifies?
For me, it's really just about anybody, and in part because even though I know that we may not be successful with every dog, we're going to be, in some extent, successful with every veteran because we're giving them a job that they can do, and we're helping them be around other veterans.
The only other thing I would add to that is that Becky and I focus on veterans because that's our background, but there's so many other people that would benefit from a service dog that suffer from PTSD, especially women of sexual abuse. It's a much larger population than just veterans, although I love our veterans.
The lecture is called The Value of Assistance Dogs and Their Different Roles. Carol Salveson and Becky Flanagan, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.